Hello, I'm Arnold Hamilton, editor of the Oklahoma Observer.
And I'm Marianne Martin, and this is ObserverCast, your weekly deep dive into Oklahoma politics and policy,
presented by the Mary Lou Lemon Foundation.
Ding dong, the knave is dead. Well, not dead as in D-E-A-D, but dead to Oklahoma voters. Ryan Walters lasted all of 33 months as state superintendent, though it often felt like 33 years. Yeah. Clearly, he saw no electoral future here, and maybe even worried he could be in the investigatory crosshairs, given the ways tax dollars were being spent on his watch. So he pulled the escape hatch. Poof! He's getting, while the getting is good, to become CEO of the fledgling Olympia, Washington-based Teacher Freedom Alliance, whose goal, he says, is to destroy the teachers' unions. In typical Walters fashion, with plenty of bloviation, he announced his resignation and a new gig on Fox News rather than directly to the voters who entrusted him with supervision of the state's K-12 school system. And what would be a Walters public appearance without plenty of blarney? I threw that in for you, Sean.
Thank you.
including his claim that the Texas Freedom Alliance is, quote, one of the biggest grassroots organizations in the country. Well, here's a quick fact check. As of mid-morning Thursday, the group's website reported 2,748 members. Yeehaw! To help us unpack the demise of the one-time State Teacher of the Year finalist, former gubernatorial cabinet member, former Trump administration hopeful, and soon-to-be former state superintendent, we invited two of the group of anti-Walters activists we call the Resistors to join us for an encore. Sandra Valentine, you guys are laughing. You're making me laugh now. Sandra Valentine and Sean Cummings made it their mission.
Yay!
Their mission to attend every State Board of Education meeting and to call out Walters bloviating and lying.
That's a fact.
Well, welcome, guys. How late did you celebrate last night?
I was late to work this morning. I was.
Okay, what time were you and I texting? Was it 4 or 4:30?
Yes, it was 4 this morning. Yeah.
Sandra and I are on the same sleep schedule, which means we don't sleep. And so we know each other up, so we text through the night.
It was fantastic.
Here's the thing. There's a quote, and one of the representatives sent it to me, and it worked real well. Ryan Walters couldn't get fired by anybody except Ryan Walters, and he managed to do that.
Oh, man.
Well, so did you guys, either one, have this on your bingo card? I knew something was going to happen, that he was going to go down in flames, and I sort of thought it was going to be Samsung Gate, but it didn't turn out quite to be.
Right.
But that may have been sort of the actual final nail in the coffin.
That might have been the lead-in, because they can do expanded searches. You know, it just depends on what the search warrant says. So I'm curious to know, look, even Mr. Global, an energy expert on TikTok, was like, I don't know what he really did, but to make this quick of an exit. But sooner or later, we're going to find out. The good thing about out at the State House is it's loose lips out there. I'm interested to see Sandra's take on this whole thing, because I have always said he's circling the drain. And now this is out of a guy that's owned bars and restaurants for 40 years. I just look at his behavior and go, you can't continue this. And Sandra's heard me saying it for months. And I'm like, sooner or later, you get yourself in a situation you can't get out of. And maybe we're not hearing it yet. But, you know, Vicky Pehenna never said anything about the deal, except she said there wasn't enough to indict. Mm-hmm. That's all she said. So I'd be curious from there. Sandra, what do you think on that whole deal?
Well, you know, I know too much, and
yes,
some stuff I can't say. So let's just say
I know too much.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hey, I gotta keep people trusting me. Yep. Come on now.
That's a fact.
Well, I'm not asking you to reveal your sources. I'm asking you to reveal the information.
Yeah.
Let's just say that something else led to his departure. So We'll just keep it nice and sweet.
But I'm sure it was really, self-involved.
This is really the thing. It's just like it was really abrupt, right? Like,
well, and think about it. So he needs to make enough money to keep this $350,000 house he has, and he's probably going to be going through a divorce. So he's got to come up with child support, all this other stuff. So he's got to make some real money, which he's managed to do. But once all eyes are on you, it's very difficult to do that kind of stuff. So I'm interested. So the joke I made today is I go, you know who's nervous about him changing jobs? Who's ever selling him whatever it is he's doing? Because they want to get paid too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I just wonder if there was like a whiff of a, well, I don't know with the federal the federal regime right now, but just some larger problem. Like,
so I will say that I myself had filed Office of Civil Rights complaints. And let me tell you, when I submitted those complaints, immediately the next day, the feds were contacting me. And so we were in,
when was
we were in talks. So this would have been Easter, around Easter.
So this calendar year?
2024. No.
Oh, okay.
No. So we were in talks like consistently, pretty consistently. And we had things in the works, like I'm not going to go into detail, but we had things in the works that were going to happen. And then in November, we had an election. And everything stopped.
Yeah, right. That happened
so
with us with the jail.
Let's just say that even though the election happened and that may have stopped some things, some high people in Oklahoma still knew what was going on because all the information that I had was being shared with other people. So yeah, a lot of people knew what was going on. I have, I did a lot of research. I knew a lot of things, like the timeline of events that were supposed to happen federally, especially with our federal dollars, and things just didn't add up. Schools were getting money that shouldn't have gotten money. He allocated funds on a per pupil basis instead of the way that our Every Student Succeeds Act says to allocate the money. So there was missing dollars. And I just went down the rabbit hole and I found a whole bunch of stuff and shared it with some good people. And, and then we get a resignation. So yeah. I'm not saying that all of that is connected, but.
Arnold, I always say, I don't want to be married to Sandra because I don't want to have to divorce her and have her fight all this stuff out. She needs to be working for a law office. I don't know what she's doing teaching.
Or in journalism.
Right. Yeah, is just phenomenal at this. So I think it's safe for me to say that one of the schools the money was allocated to didn't exist anymore. Is that okay
yes.
for me to say?
And
right.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Because when the federal department,
yeah.
right. So when the federal government released their consolidated report, I had already been talking to the feds and giving them my information. So when the report came out, some of the stuff that's in the report is stuff that I gave them. So one of the schools that he's talking about is Epic. So there was about $2 million that went to the school that didn't exist at that time. And so that was being investigated. And that's just one detail in the big scheme of things. So
But I think that's the easiest one to prove. That's why
yes.
I brought it up.
Yeah, definitely. Because the other ones are harder to pinpoint. Schools that should have gotten money didn't get money. And schools that got money didn't deserve the money. Because he was playing around with the rubrics of the state report card. So,
okay.
Yeah,
so,
all of that.
Okay. So I feel like,
it's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot, but I'm like, what was actually the tipping point? Because what I wonder, and you guys can just, blink yes or nod no, so if you can't tell more details, but I mean, I'm just wondering if maybe he became too much of a liability for, say, An outgoing governor, yes, an outgoing governor who wants to be on a larger stage. And therefore, someone had to, he had to bend the knee and step down. So he wouldn't bring further disgrace to stay.
Right. Right. Because who made him? Stitch. He will always be linked to Stitch. Yeah.
And so I
And
think the
vice
other thing,
versa.
Right.
correct.
Right.
I think the other thing to throw on there is the OSU presidential job came open and Stitt wanted that job. And as I understand it from some of the large donors at OSU, he was basically laughed out of the room because of what has happened with education. So that is the albatross around Stitt's neck. It isn't just Ryan Walters and Corngate or whatever we want to call it. It's the fact that he brought him on and he was unqualified. But Stitt's done this in a few different areas, and
And he
he seems
continues
to
to
have,
do this. This is just
right.
it. He continues to do this.
It's the I don't remember whether it was Atlas Shrugged or Fountainhead, where the newspaper guy would bring absolutely qualified people in architecture but have them write about sports. It seems to be something along those lines, but Stitt needs somebody that'll do what he wants, which is my concern with whoever comes in next. And there's one specific lady that I don't want getting that job that was on the virtual charter school board that came on as a Catholic to give the Catholic vote. And I can't remember her name right now, but anyone but her.
You know who's the inner one but her for me?
Yeah, who's that?
Janet Borisi.
So I talked about that today,
Oh,
but she
okay.
does know how
So,
to run the department, though.
right. So
I know
let's go
that.
all the way back. Let's go all the way back. And even if you go through my Facebook post, there is a picture way back when, like 20, early on in his career, where I saw Janet Borisi there at the Capitol and I snapped a picture and I was like, huh, what is she doing around Ryan Walters? And then all of a sudden, I just saw her in all these places that, I was going to, and if anybody knew how to do anything, it was her, because she came out on Flashpoint with Emily Virgin one day, and she said that the state report card was a racist report card. I mean, she went all off on how to manipulate the report card, and that she had learned how to look at numbers differently because she worked for Betsy DeVos. Like, that's what she did after she left the State Department of Oklahoma. So then she was looking at other states' report cards while, knowing our numbers really well. So if there was anybody who knew, like, all the timelines that I knew was what was going on, I call this, like, when he was a candidate, I said the social studies standards are going to be in his tenure. The federal funding that was coming down was going to be in his tenure. I was in the room when he said that he was going to, do away with federal funding through the State Department. And
Was that your film?
everybody around me is clapping, and I'm looking around like, no, guys, don't you understand what this means? This means funding for our students with disabilities, funding for gifted and talented, funding for resources, our teachers, our Title I teachers, our math tutors, our reading tutors. Like, there is so much funding that goes into that. And if Oklahoma is not going to replace that money, then we lose $1 billion. And that's even like our ag money. I mean, there is so much that is tied to those federal dollars. Like, I guarantee everybody has a child that is in something that money would be a part of. And so for everybody in the room to be clapping, I was like, nope, this guy is leading people on. I mean, he did the same thing when he said he wanted to get rid of state testing, and everybody was all on board because of emotions, not realizing that when he changes the When he makes the changes to our Every Student Succeeds Act, to our state plan, they are set in stone until the next person decides to change it. So what he was actually doing was trying to be in charge of every single dollar, be in charge of every textbook, be in charge of every professional development that we went to, be in charge of, I mean, he would have his hands in every single cookie jar, and nobody would know any different or could be able to do anything.
This is the thing. This is kind of like the Republican move, though.
Right.
The block grant. A block grant, right?
Correct.
Federal funding block grants that just go to the states to do what they want to do.
Correct.
You know? And so, like, in my mind, Walters wasn't an embarrassment to the federal regime, right? Mm-hmm. Walters was an embarrassment at the state level, because there was nothing outrageous about Walters kind of in the Trump world, mm-hmm. right? Nope. But he was an utter failure, right? He was an utter mm-hmm. failure with right. Trump's people. But, like, at the state level, he was an absolute liability. Mm-hmm. And the thing is like, but what he wanted to do, what you're saying, you know, Sandra, is like that block grant idea, like that is literally what they want to do with all federal dollars.
Okay, and nobody so watches. Here's the thing. So here's the thing, though. The way that our Every Student Succeeds Act is written, mm-hmm. that is not possible for him to do. So when he tried to do it in March, that's why Linda McMahon has not said yes to it, because legally she cannot say yes to it because of the way our plan is written out. Yes. So the other way he went around doing it was what he just tried to do with, I just lost it. But the block grants are not legally viable. So he would not have been able to do that in Oklahoma because of the way our plan is written.
Good. God, that was my big fear.
So that was that's why he asked in March, and it still has not been decided because the decision is you can't do it.
Remind me, is the Every Student Succeeds Act, is that federal or state? Sorry.
That's federal. So that's federal. Like our No Child Left Behind, the race to the top. It's all the same thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a, but. I feel like something had to have brought him to heel that was like magnificent enough.
Right. Well, prison type stuff.
Oh yeah. Hey, yes. Arnold, yeah. Is this where I wink real big?
Yes. And you're like, yes, that's exactly it.
Well, Arnold, let me throw another name out there. So if Kevin Stitt really wanted to fix his reputation for ruining our schools by all these bozos.
Yes, let's have this conversation.
Okay. He could cut a deal, bring Joy Hoffmeister in and Barisi and say, I need you all to do this. Can you do this department and you do this department? Let's try to put this back together. And I think those two, Barisi wants back in.
Mm.
She wants back in. She was at an OCPAC meeting, introduced Ryan Walters, was like, you know, when you get out of here, you do what I do, which is all the behind the scenes things Sandra was just talking about. We have her on tape.
Yep.
So, but I think if Stitt wanted, if his ego wouldn't get in the way of him doing an olive branch to Joy Hoffmeister, she's a good enough person to come back in and help. Because they're going to have to fire all of his people. They don't have any talent. Like, they're unqualified.
Yeah, they lost it all.
Yeah, it's time for the smart people.
And there is audio recordings of people saying things like, why do we give money to the bottom 5%? It is a federal thing that you have to do. And we have top leaders in the in the Oklahoma State Department right now that are on audio saying that exact quote. And so,
but this is classic Stitt administration stuff.
Right.
This is bled out going back to, you know, the Gino DeMarcos of the world and different people like that
who would Foggy Bottom Grills,
who would get in these meetings and you know, healthcare authority and other areas, mm-hmm. you know, with federal dollars in there, and they would say, here's what we want to do. And they would say, you can't do that. Legally, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. And they would respond. They had this line, all of them. Well, those rules are for the little people, and we're not little people.
We're not little people. Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's why I thought, how has he, I mean, this is, if nothing else, this is a guy who's hired on a bunch of six-figure ghost employees, one of whom badged in four times to the Hodge building in the last year
or whatever. And he's got a history.
And how, he escapes some sort of criminal misconduct for over, I mean, he for running this enterprise. I don't know.
Well, because they will not go after their own. I mean,
I mean, the financial backers are not even in Oklahoma. They're in Texas.
Texas. Everybody's in
Well,
Texas.
that's true.
And Walmart gave $120,000.
Here's my
The Walmart
question,
family.
though. Like, if we bring Janet Barisi back into the picture,
Yeah.
I don't see how that helps Kevin Stitt do any get anywhere, because I think the stink is still too strong on her from what she did while she was in
That's
office.
fair. Yeah, I'm
And
just looking for
I
people
can't
that can
see
do
him.
it.
I can't see him bringing Hoffmeister back either.
Right,
Although,
because he's a
she.
spiteful son of a gun. And
Yes. Yes, he is.
Yes.
So the other
So.
choice would be Sandy Garrett, and Sandy has health issues that would not. Would keep her from being able to do it.
So is it Mark McBride, like people are
Yeah,
saying?
but he doesn't know how to run education. He's
No. This is
about
it. Like, I was like,
education.
what is it? He's like former
No.
state trooper, right? Like,
Right. Jump in there, Sandra.
But hang on. Hang on.
Education chair.
No, I know that, but
But he
before he was
doesn't
in the
run
house, like,
well.
wasn't he like a state
Yeah.
trooper?
Well, he
No.
runs a
I
construction
knew
company
that.
now.
Like,
No. Well, and let me say this about McBride, who has become something of a hero,
Right.
after he leaves off after he leaves office is what I
Yeah,
want
he didn't do
to.
shit while he was in there.
No, until he got term limited and he was at the tail end of it. And to quote my old pal and mentor Frosty Troy,
Okay.
he'd say he grew a teeny tiny little testicle, at
Right.
the end of this thing.
Finally,
And
right.
then all of a sudden, he's out and he starts writing op-eds and doing all this stuff. Where was the courage before that? You know who I think Stitt has an opportunity here. I'm so glad you said it because I wrote about this today, Sean.
Yeah.
I think he has an opportunity here. This is a redo. Walter's resignation was sort of a gift to Kevin Stitt, who's trying to
Yes.
figure out his way forward. And I think you find some. I think you grab a hold of somebody like April Grace.
Yeah. Right.
Or even Rob
Who I think
Miller.
all of us would be okay with, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I realize her politics are much more conservative than
Right.
mine, but I have no doubt that she would know what she's doing.
How about you, Sandra? Would you be okay with
You
that or
may
no?
disagree. You may be
The
off the
seasoned
bandwagon.
Shawnee, right?
I gotta say, I don't think Stitt's way is not to pick qualified people.
I
Right.
know. Yeah, I know. You're
We're
right.
just hoping for the
Yeah,
good here.
I mean, this is
he's
what
looking around
we
the room
want. This
right
is
now.
not what, this
Yeah.
is so like I would say it'd be someone, maybe someone like Adam Pugh or
Or
someone.
Shane Jett. I think I Shane Jett or
Oh.
what's the
Oh
idiot
shit, yeah.
the
Oh
rep
God.
from Northeast Oklahoma that's got all the tattoos on his neck. That idiot. That's
Gabe
perfect.
Woolley.
Gabe Woolley is perfect for Kevin Stitt.
Oh,
Because he'll say or do
man.
anything. The guy's an absolute media whore. I mean, he's desperate for attention. He will do anything
But
for
this is
Kevin
what
Well,
got
that
Stitt in
worked out
trouble in
well
the
with
first
Brian
place,
Walters.
though.
Right. But that doesn't learn. Gino
He
DeMarco,
really
the
doesn't, but
soggy bottom grill stuff. I mean, this stuff was all stuff where he brought in people. And he's like, well, do whatever you want. And then they get busted. And he's like, I didn't say that.
is this when we see the return of Shelley Zumwalt?
Ooh,
Well,
I
she's
don't
been
know.
banned
Yeah.
for a
She's
couple
been
of years,
formally
hasn't she?
banned because of all of her shit.
Yes, I think that was part of the
Oh,
agreement
wow.
with the ethics committee
That
and the fine.
woman,
Well, as I
I'm
understand,
telling
Ryan's
you,
got that
that
same
woman.
agreement.
Oh.
What'd you say, Sean?
I said, as I understand from my insiders, Ryan has that same agreement. He's out of Oklahoma politics permanently.
Wow.
That's my inside guy. No guarantee, but that's my inside guy, and it's pretty inside.
So, okay. So here's the thing. Like, I think
Yes.
Stitt is really, I think, like having like the reality check of all reality checks that he has, tarnished his good name.
Yeah, his
I
legacy
mean,
is dead.
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So
Top
if he
10. What
thought
did we end up top 10 in? I mean,
you're backwards.
he would have been a perfect university president.
Yeah, because he could raise money, right?
Because he can raise, and that's all.
And they turned him
He's
down.
not a substance guy, he's
His
not a
own
meat
college.
potatoes guy. He could go out and he could raise dollars. Maybe Oral Roberts is where he needs to go, right? Oh, I can't
No, I know. Frankenstitt's monster. Remember on the cover of
that's
of
awesome.
The August issue.
Yep, good.
Nice plug.
It is good. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think he could choose someone that is media happy because Walters just couldn't shut up.
Right.
But I'm also curious why would you announce your resignation in a really, really, like, I'd say gauche way, going on Fox freaking news instead of what everyone else does, going in front of the podium, you know, in the blue room at the state capitol with the governor next to you, and you're just all contrite and like, Charlie Kirk made me see things differently. I don't know.
Okay, I want to jump in on that point. Okay. Yeah. Please let me jump in. Okay. Mm-hmm. When he resigns, he loses his security. Okay. He doesn't have troopers anymore. And that is a man with a lot of legitimate enemies and a lot of special needs moms. Woo, I'm concerned for his welfare because he behaves badly. He's in shady places doing shady shit. That could turn out bad.
I don't know. It could be the money people too. Like if he's got people after him,
Right.
Because I mean, he was like connected to the Waltons,
got
billionaires.
We got 120 grand from the Walton family. And then he's got all that money coming up from Texas. Texas is running him.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that now goes away. And he's used to having all this. It is an access. And you know, you can be as anti-union as you want to be, whatever his story is. But if you're used to burning through 300 to 500K a year and your job pays 100, you got to find that other money. But that puts you in vulnerable situations. I really do mean it. I am my Spidey sense is up for when he loses highway patrol protection because he's needed it numerous times.
Or he feels he has needed it.
Right. Well, he's also paranoid because he's doing something. That probably didn't work for audio.
I mean, I wouldn't worry about the special needs moms. I'd worry about the Waltons, you know, and like all those Texas billionaires that feel brought undue attention to them.
Did they get their money's worth? Right.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Did they get what they...
Nothing else.
Remember all the things that he promised he was going to do, and we blocked him on some stuff. I mean, the social studies standards were blocked.
That's a $40 million book deal there.
Yeah.
And it's all your fault, as we know. It literally is Sandra's fault. And whenever I do a Ryan Walters video, I'm like, Sandra, I hate you.
Yeah, like
so proud that you're here with us tonight, Sandra.
Who's going to play us in the movies?
Maybe you need OHP protection on.
Sandra's done some stuff. We're just going to leave it there. Sandra, she's my go-to.
You Nellie Bly. My goodness.
Look at me. I am 4'10". Like, nobody should be afraid of me. Come on now.
Oh, the pen is mightier than the sword, my friend.
Right. Isn't the accountant always the one that takes down the mobster? It's always like the bookkeeper that you didn't see coming. I sent her this morning. I was like, well, you got him. Congratulations.
I mean, I have to say that, like, I wish I was optimistic, you know, for the state. At least for our kids, right? I have a sixth grader.
Right.
You know, my oldest fled the state for a higher education somewhere else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But like, the thing is like, in the context of the Trump regime, this could be really bad.
Yeah, I don't, positivity towards the state. So I'll give you my Sean Cummings example, because I did put a post out there and told people to call the governor's office and ask him to replace him with me, which I have no business, but I don't belong there or anything else. But here's the thing. You could immediately start like just reading books, get some cool librarians to pick books out for you and read books every night and show parents how to read books to their kids and just start reintroducing some stuff really quickly, because we've lost folks for a couple of years.
Right.
But if we can get parents involved, instead of the kids being at school learning 6 hours a day, they're doing another 2 hours at home, but it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we can maybe catch up and get back into the game. But whoever takes this over needs to be 100% in and they need to be 100% involved and 100% familiar with social media. This can play out well if Stitt wasn't such a jackass.
Well, and I just think of like the armies of like teachers who stepped away from the profession.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Who might come back at this point.
Right.
I mean, possibly, but I mean, we're still not out of the woods is my concern.
Oh, right? God, no.
Oh, yeah. 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 And we won't be. I know I'm celebrating right now, but my daughter, Jade, who's a freshman right now, she will probably be in college before we start seeing any kind of turnaround. It's not going to happen immediately. Right. It's not going to happen next year or the following year or the year after that.
Right. But I think you're absolutely right, Sean. Like, parents need to step into the alert.
Yeah.
They're going to have to. God knows we couldn't get them to show up to any protests or anything, but sooner or later, you have to realize that kid's education right now is on you. So look, you and Sandra's kids are going to be fine. You're both educated. You read, you do all this other stuff. Your kids will be totally fine. It's the person that's just on social media or watching TV.
You know, like here. Okay. So this is what I'm going to really be Eeyore about all of this.
Yes.
Apologize, because like, this is definitely like a positive thing that happened, but I'm just thinking like within the larger like realm of Oklahoma, where we have, you know, higher than national average poverty rates, we have food insecurity, we have children living in, you know, violent homes, women, you know, our incarceration rates, like, it's just like, we
crazy.
Just like that like lack of like statesmanship by the governor, who has done jack shit.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Like jack shit as governor. Right.
Yep.
Like that, it is going to be such a lift to just like get all those other things in place that need to be there, because it's like, as much as, you know, and I'm not saying this is what you're doing, Sean, I'm just like, I don't think, you know, the parents that are working 2-3 jobs, you know, are working that third shift, like those aren't the ones that I question if they really want to be there for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's those more affluent voters that put these people in place in the first place.
Yeah.
That really want to like just warehouse their kids at school. Mm-hmm. Whatever they get, they get. They have names they can drop. They can get them into college. Like all these people that have voted these people into place.
Right.
That have rubber stamped things like eroding. Like, oh gosh, we've talked about this. I'm sorry. I'm going off on
right.
a rant, but like.
You're in a friendly group here.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The fact that our kids do not have foreign language requirements anymore.
Right.
Right. Out of two people who speak Spanish here.
You know, like the fact that they do not have to have that, and how that limits their options for higher education automatically.
And work.
Yes.
Because you got to be bilingual anymore. It's not enough to speak.
You know what I mean? Just all the ways that like the powers that be right now outside of Ryan Walters.
Right.
You know, like the enforcement mechanisms, the policy mechanisms are so warped right now. Like, mm-hmm. and it's just like, oh my gosh, I want to be like popping the champagne. But you know, when we all really sit and think through all the policy things that need to happen to right this ship for our kids, it's just like, Jesus, that's a lot.
So that's why I say it's got to start with a social media savvy person.
Yeah.
Because they can get stuff out to 100,000, 200,000 people the first day. And that can grow if they're good at it. And even though it's just a cog in the wheel on the backside, mm-hmm. on the front side, it looks there's real changes. So the law of incremental improvement kicks in. So mm-hmm. people are like, okay, well, I guess we're supposed to read with our kids. And you know, you don't go, hey, I'm sorry nobody told you this stuff the last 2 years. You just, whoever the new person is, go, my favorite thing to do with my kids was to read to them when they went to sleep. I turned off the TV and I just read them until they fell asleep, literally. And I've done it as an exhausted parent. I've been there.
Right, absolutely.
But we have to come up with something that's doable with modern technology. We can't look at what happened 40 years ago and think it's going to work.
Yeah.
Do you know who knows who Kirby McKenzie is, the librarian from Tulsa?
Yeah.
Kirby McKenzie, phenomenal example of how you start to turn that.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know her, look her up on social media. Absolutely hilarious. Always up. And I don't know how, but And she could be the book
like
person.
You guys, right? Like, but you need to have like a night owl like group chat, you know,
24 hour a day.
Yeah,
right. Does that make sense, Sandra? Am I off?
Virtual diner, 24 hour diner for you guys.
So let's think back about how the Every Student Succeeds Act happened with the Bush family, right? Mm-hmm. So, like I said at the Observer cast or the Observer one that we did in August, if you look up Excel and Ed, I mean, it was Jeb Bush. It's mm-hmm. his company that has pushed all of these policies. Wow. And if you look on their website, you will find our legislators linked to the exact legislation that he has wanted pushed in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. So things that we thought were great, things that I thought were great individually, when you stack them together, they create more chaos for our children. And I'm not going to go into detail because it's a lot to think about. But Jeb Bush is a big part of this. And so when Jeb Bush started the team with, you know, Stitt and Ryan Walters, they were at meetings together. They did a meeting in Utah, I believe that's where it was.
It was
and
a reporting,
they learned yeah. and they learned how to do all of this. And so this has been a something that they have schemed up since 2020. So this is a 5-year thing that they have looked at. And so I'll add to that, they couldn't do it on their own. They needed certain people in certain positions. So if you look at legislation and who has passed certain things, it's going to be like Adam Pugh. It's right. going to be like Ali Siegfried. It's going to be those two people who have come out on podcasts for Excel and Ed. It's going to be some other legislators that you're just going to be like, I did not know they were a part of this. And
for just a moment, Sandra.
Yeah.
Because you bring up a really interesting point. Ali Siegfried was like brand stinking new when she became vice chair with Adam Pugh.
Exactly.
All of a sudden she's running.
How
all
did
of
that happen?
Bills,
yes.
They're just passing through. It's like, that's not an accident.
No.
Like, oh, no.
That happened no. because someone from no. some offices call and say, you're going to let these bills pass.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Because how much time does she have left? So some of these people that have moved out or are getting close to move out, they need the new people coming in to keep all of that going. So,
and they're not picked on accident.
No. So think about who is in education chairs right now.
Yep. Arnold.
Chad Caldwell. How did Chad Caldwell get in his position?
Oh my God, that man.
So, you know, Mr. Bowtie, I confronted him very early on and confronted him with a bill that he was running with Rhonda Baker. And I just straight out asked him, is this an ALEC bill? And me being 4'10", I am married to a 6'3" white guy, and I am not intimidated by tall white men. So I went straight up to him, got as close as I could, and I asked him, is this an ALEC bill? And I kid you not, he said yes and walked away.
Oh, wow. He was
and
honest.
I was like, wow. Okay. That Jeez. Tells me everything I need to know. So I have literally followed Chad Caldwell from the beginning, along with Ryan Walters. There are certain legislators that are on my short list that I will look at every step that they are doing.
Here's the thing, though, with Chad Caldwell, he's kind of dug his own grave in the House. Like, you know, there, I mean, maybe he's redeemed himself, but when he challenged McCall, you know, to be Speaker, and like, yeah, I remember when there was a bill they couldn't get over from the Senate, because McCall opposed one of Treat's bills, and they couldn't get an author in the House. And who was I want to say it was the voucher bill. They weren't going to run it in the House, and they couldn't find a co-author in the house. And oh, lo and behold, Mr. Backbencher himself, you know, Thorne and McCall side, Chad McCall decides to be an author so he can run. Like that guy. And I'm just thinking, if we somehow by some miracle get a McCall as governor, Caldwell's going nowhere.
Right.
But that's not going to happen. We do like our milk toast white dudes. So
he is as boring as it gets. Lord,
and the forehead.
His commercials put me to sleep.
Oh my god!
Yeah, the forehead and the ears and the bug eyes.
I know. It's
a bad look.
Bless his heart.
Sandra's like, oh, I don't want to be associated.
Bless his heart.
He's not really my man.
Arnold, what are we missing here, Arnold? Jump
well,
in.
I'm just wondering what, you know, if lo and behold, somebody qualified agreed to take the position.
Right.
Take it on. What could they do in, what would that be, 14 months or so left in the term that would at least bare minimum stabilize the system, the State Department of Education?
Okay. You know? But couldn't they immediately put out a stack of orders rescinding Walter's orders? That could be done day one. You just sit there and keep signing off.
I think there are some laws in place that have already screwed us over. And until some of those laws get changed, and I'm talking about things that were passed last legislative season and the year before that, some of those education bills are actually harmful. They look great on paper, but stacked together, they are Jeb Bush's babies. And there's a couple of more things that are coming up the pipeline that would like tie everything together with a bow. And so that's the dangerous part, because the people that have sold some of this stuff to us, we thought were education people, and then we got bit in the butt. So unless you know the entire plan and everything is on Excel and Ed, everything is on there. You would have to know which bills to say we can no longer do these, like change those kinds of bills or change funding mechanisms or other things. Because Ryan Walters has already put in place some things that are going to be harmful to us for a generation.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Things that are not going to get fixed with the next state superintendent is what I'm saying.
Right.
So even if we got the most pro, even if I was in there, there are some things that, because of law, it would still screw up our Oklahoma children. And so who's the Eeyore now?
Well, you know, we always try to be.
Oh, no, I'll be the Eeyore here. Don't you take that. Yeah.
Don't take it. But we definitely need very, very intelligent people in that department. And we need to get rid of the people that were his yes men. That's what I would do on day one. Do the hiring freeze like he did.
Don't you just look for the blazer and the jeans and fire all of those people? I mean, we know who they are.
Well, you and I know who they are because we see them every month. Yeah. Yeah.
If more of us were sleeping out on the sidewalk like you guys were, we'd know who all these people are, right?
You know, nobody got that joke when Erica said it. I had women in the audience going, oh! I'm like, no, she's kidding. She's kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Marianne, back me up on this, please. But I think you will. We always try to bring it all together as we're getting close to the end of one of these podcasts with some hope.
Right.
What can rank and file Oklahomans do to help minimize, you know, at least forestall any more damage.
Right.
You know, try to stem the hemorrhage here on this. That's what it sounds like. That's where we sort of are. It's Sandra, it sounds to me like you're not convinced that we're gonna we're going to be able to come back from this in a long, long time. But we, you know, you have to start somewhere. So where do we start?
Right. So October 12th, we're going to have a big old party on the Capitol lawn. We're going to bring everybody together. Like, seriously, it is in the works right now. We have bands bands in place. Everybody get your signs ready for October 12th. October 11th, we're going to have a pregame party. I mean, this is going to be a statewide celebration. We're going to come together. We're going to say, yes, we did this collectively. Correct. Because a lot of people played a lot of parts in this.
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't one organization or one person. It was the state of Oklahoma came together on this. And just by looking at our social medias, I mean, this guy was not popular. And so if we take all of that collective energy and put it into education for the next, you know, until November 3rd, 2026, and just say, find your person now. Who are you going to be behind? Because that's the person that you need to focus your energy on. I mean, I've got my short list of people that I am 1,000% behind and working my butt off for them. And that's what we need to do. We need to turn this around and get the smartest people possible in the right places.
Yeah.
So, and are those folks who are on your list ones who are they're targeting specific races?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've got a strong person for state superintendent. I've got Congressional District 5, Gina Nelson. I can't really say the state superintendent that's about to announce, but he will announce October 1st.
Right. He has a very famous last name.
Yes.
I think that's fair to say.
He made some really cool videos. He's pretty well known. So,
so Arnold, I'll give you, we got a couple of minutes. Okay.
Sure.
So I told Sandra, I go, Sandra, you're going to end up being an incredible political ally for somebody, because all of us now have got to just admit, and we go, okay, can we let the smart people take care of this and give us advice and let the rhetoric and hatred and everything go over to the other side? And I made a comment on one of my deals, and I got a call from Rob Miller, who wanted to sit down and talk, and he's running on the Republican ticket. My thing is, I am not voting for any Republicans. I'm just not doing it. They are here to destroy it. Education. And so if you are voting for Republicans, you don't get to be surprised that they're destroying education.
Right.
And no matter what Rob does, they're going to make Rob do their stuff.
Yeah.
That's the way it works, or they primary him the next time. Yeah. That's the way politics works right now. So I had a really nice conversation with him, and I'll still sit down with him, but I go, but I'm not going to vote for any Republicans. I'm just not going to do it. And it isn't that I believe in Democrats or anything, but the Dem she's talking about is a solid guy. But I only want people that are verified solid by somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about. And I think that's a good way to move forward. But let's let the smart people write the list, you know?
Yeah, no, I remember Rob Miller talking to the Legislative Caucus members, and he was a show pony. You know what I mean? He was a show pony. So
there's certain questions that I'll ask candidates. The very first
killer.
One. Oh, yeah. The very first one is, okay, we dismantle the U.S. Department of Education. What happens to our students with disabilities? Mm-hmm. That's my concern. I've got 6 grandchildren, and 4 of them have disabilities right now. And they are the ones that are going to go through the public school system next. And where is Oklahoma? Is Oklahoma going to take care of them? Not right now. So where are our priorities? We have to take care of. And Sean and I were at the meeting last October, and this happened before any data came out, where the people that were there supporting Ryan Walters told us to our faces that the students with disabilities were the ones that needed to be out of the classrooms because they were the ones that were destroying our public education. They told that to our faces.
Right.
And I stood there and I said, 20% of our population has a disability. I have a disability. And the man looked at me and said, anybody can go and get a diagnosis on a disability. I said, sir, can you even point out my disability? And he said, oh, anybody can get one. Like that means nothing. And I said, okay, Well, now you're saying that 20% of our population does not belong. So where do they go? Yeah. And he said, oh, like we used to.
Keep them at home or lock them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he, yeah. I'm telling you, I was there. That's what this and guy said.
And that is their mentality. Because when you take these out the people students, that
vote, though.
These yes. are the people that's the that problem.
Actually show yeah. up to vote.
That's the problem. Right. And he flat out told us, he said, Ryan already showed us the numbers. Well, when you take out the students with disability, the reason why they're labeled students with disabilities mm-hmm. is because they're academically two or more years behind. So of course they're not going to score well on a standardized test. And so he's trying to tell me that those are the students that are dropping our scores. If you take them out, if you use that kind of language, and say, take out the students with disability scores, our rank goes higher. Okay.
Yeah.
But the people do not go away. The children right. still, they're still valid. They're still human right. beings. How do we take care of them?
Yeah.
And if you don't have a plan other than they don't belong in the classroom,
right.
That's my number one question
yeah.
for anybody running.
And that sets the tone.
Okay. Yep. So I know we kind of got to wrap this up, but yep. I'm like,
yeah.
you still need legislation to deal with that. You know yep. what I mean? Like you can't just like,
well, that's federal
like that. Right. Attitudes like that. Cause my daughter had, you know, was on a robust IEP, dyslexia, mm-hmm. dyscalculia, mm-hmm. like, you know, robust IEP. And so whenever someone says it's easy to get an IEP, I was like, you've never done it. Yeah. If you say
right.
you've gotten an IEP, it
right.
is
right.
extraordinarily difficult to qualify.
Right.
And then it's okay. only within the scope of the school day.
Right.
It doesn't even deal with all the other things. My daughter had cerebral palsy. She had learning oh, wow. disabilities. I mean, all these things.
Right.
But I'm just
so
like,
let's...
but I mean, you're basically, it's like these people just want to open it up to the wild, wild freaking West. Right.
Yes.
Like, I mean, this was like my problem when, one of many problems when Walters came in and said, we're getting rid of standardized tests. Okay. So what does that mean?
Yeah.
So you know that when he said that in Shawnee, he was answering a teacher who was teaching SPED. She was a SPED teacher who asked, my students cannot pass this test. What are you going to do about it? And he said, we're going to get rid of it. So that was his answer to a SPED teacher.
But it's just like, okay, so we're going to like put it back in local control. I'm like, okay, so Salisaw and LaFleur County are going to be writing their own tests, and these large urban districts are going to write their own tests. And I'm like, okay, how do you have like validity and reliability, right? Like
Texas is looking at the same thing right now.
Well, Texas yeah. just passed it.
Oh, they did. Okay.
That yes.
Was... Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah. So theirs is now called, instead of the, what was it? The Star?
Star or no, Fast Star?
Star. I think it now has another... It now has another S in front of it. So it's like S star. Something like that.
It's SS star. It's literally.
So they are. Yeah. So they're doing the three benchmarks a year, right? Which is what Ryan Walters was proposing. That was the public comment that he had. So that's the one that closed September 8th that we just talked about. That's what he wanted to do, change the way testing was, because he couldn't do block grants. So
okay.
this is his way around it, is to give us the three tests per year. And you're right, because one school is going to do it one way, another school is going to do it another way. And so here's where the flaw in that is. But if you don't know how it works, then you wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
We already do three benchmark tests a year, right? But my school will do something differently than your school. When it comes down to scoring those benchmarks, we don't have a unified rubric that would give us the number that corresponds to the letter that a school ends up getting. So my report card rubric would be different than your report card rubric. So how would we know
valid findings what so freaking
exactly ever. So then he would be able to hide who was
right.
doing what and which schools were failing and which schools were not failing, and he could hide the students with disabilities. That was another thing that was in the public comment. He was going to hide the students with disabilities category. Yeah. So So if you didn't pay attention to that public comment, that public comment period that was open, I mean, that was going to go through and the state board would approve it. The legislature would approve it, because if you don't know the nitty gritty of all that, he would literally get away with everything.
That to that, I answer, is it 40% of people in prisons have a reading disability?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. So like the 40% have dyslexia or something like
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah. One in five is just what is diagnosed in our public schools.
Right. And these are, we don't know. And Oklahoma does not have tools in place for teachers to
recognize. We do not.
Like I had to find outside help to get Zuzu
right. diagnosed. We have very limited resources.
I had the luxury of cold contacting a professor at OU who put me in touch with people at the pain center.
Yes. Nice. Yeah.
And I had to go through multiple steps to get mm-hmm. people to identify like on my own time in my own dime. And I had the luxury, the wherewithal and the persistence to do it.
Right.
Right. And like, this is not something that, and like, she had veteran, amazing teachers and they were all like, oh, she'll learn her sight words next year.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because if you are not trained specifically in dyslexia, you do not know the signs. Yeah. And you don't know how to work with the students.
In Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And so we wonder why our kids aren't failing. And it's like, it is a lot of kids that literally have diagnosable reading disorders. Yes. And we have no accommodations in place for these kids.
Right.
Just calling them problems and saying they're failing.
Right.
What you're saying, Sandra, is people just want to eliminate them from the student population.
Yes.
All that does is grease the freaking school to prison pipeline.
Yep.
Yep.
The nuns just used to beat us for all that, and we still didn't get any better.
Right. And somehow you made it work. Right?
They just beat us a little more.
The nuns would slap you, right?
So now we all have CTE.
So hold on. Let me add this.
Yes.
So going back to that, everything that you just said, think back to legislation last session. There was legislation that was going to change the way that we label students with disabilities.
Oh, shit. I didn't know about this.
Yes.
I don't pay attention to it.
So Senate Bill 105, I'll just throw the name out there. Senate Bill 105 tried to open the gates for lots of things like that to happen. And who was the author? Chad Caldwell.
God. Wow.
So there was a lot of push back on that, and they didn't get everything that they wanted, but it did pass. So that be looking for that kind of legislation to pop up again.
So we're not out of the water. So we're just going to circle back around. We are not out of the woods yet.
Right. But we do have a life preserver of Ryan Walters.
We do.
Yes, absolutely. Because he was a mouthpiece.
Better than it was two days ago.
Right. Or it's a hemorrhoid donut. It's one or the other.
I'm still like celebrating.
I think that's probably it. I think that's going to be the title of this episode is a hemorrhoid donut. So, <yeah. laughs>
I am not getting that tattoo, no matter what you say.
That's fantastic.
All right.
No, so we need to find candidates and support them.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Now we have a party that will be more amenable to doing so. So we need to knock doors for our candidates. We need to do research. We need to hold already elected officials freaking accountable for this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And can I throw one
right
in there?
Right now is interim study season. So look at the interim studies. That's what I do. I look for certain authors.
That's a precursor to bill next
because year. Yes, absolutely. So I look for certain authors first, because if not, you get overwhelmed. Or just look at the education ones or whatever it is that you are most passionate about and only follow those, because otherwise you're going to wear yourself out. But that's what I do. I put in ChatGPT to give me an update every day to tell me if a new interim study has a calendar date. So every day I get an alert and it lets me know if there's something else on the calendar, if I'm interested in it, I'll write it down. If it's not something on my radar, then, you know, I'll pass it on to somebody else or whatever. But interim studies, absolutely, definitely look at those, familiarize yourself with those, because you can go and ask the author questions about it. You're not going to be able to ask questions on the floor when it's getting presented, but you can beforehand. And
it is a really good preview for what we can expect for next year.
Yep.
John, what were you going to say? What would you?
I was going to say the other thing is you can go to a county office and tell them what precinct you live in, and that being the county election office, and get the people that are voting in that area and just go door to door and talk to them about what they think is happening in education. Because if people are, I'm telling you, we are getting a funnel of the things we believe, and they're getting a funnel of the things they believe. And we have to figure out a way to cross over the algorithm.
That's a really, really good point. And I think that, honestly, like, so this Charlie Kirk stuff the past couple of weeks has really kind of amplified that idea.
Right.
People are coming out acting like he was, like, should be canonized. And it's like, because they never saw on their feeds because of the algorithms, the crap that he said.
Right. You
know, so it's like kind of like brought that to the fore that some people really just actually had never been exposed to what he was doing because the algorithms are cooking the books for us.
Yep. And it's hard to be mad at them when they don't know.
Right. Right. And like, yeah. And I think all of us were kind of surprised by some of the people, you know, after this, like what? In the, wow. So that's an excellent point and an excellent strategy. And shoot, we should just hold a panel on, okay, what do we do now? You know,
like, we are always willing.
Yeah.
So, we'll be talking about next Thursday night at the town hall that I'm doing.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Sean and I are about to do another town hall and come on out for that one.
Yeah, Village Library, 6:30, October 2nd.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then 10 days later, come party with me at the Capitol.
Right, there you go.
Well, thank you both for being here with us tonight on
Short. Thank you, Helen.
We just had to do it, right? Because this is a deal.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Yes,
you know, this is the only
way
to get the word out.
Right. This is a lot of fun. Share us on your socials too. We'd love to hear
about
this. Fabulous conversation. Let's do this again.
Awesome. Yes. Let us know.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of ObserverCast. If you like what you hear, please tell your friends about us and share our episodes far and wide on social media. If you're interested in sponsoring ObserverCast, please give Arnold Hamilton a call at 405-478-8700 or drop him an email at ahamilton@okobserver.org. You can also support ObserverCast with a tax-deductible donation to the Oklahoma Observer Democracy Foundation, whose mission is to help create a better, more informed Oklahoma. And to help keep us on the air, visit okobserver.org and click on the donate button on the upper right side of the homepage. We also urge you to subscribe to the Oklahoma Observer, now in its 55th year of comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comforted. We have a special digital subscription rate for ObserverCast listeners, only $1.99 a month for the first year. That's 50% off the usual rate for monthly digital subscribers. Just use the coupon code ObserverCast when checking out to get the discount rate. And finally, we want to thank Jared Deck for the music you're listening to in the background here. He's not just a resident of Norman anymore. He is now the Oklahoma State Representative for House District 44. Congratulations, Representative Deck. We're so proud of you. But you can still download his albums at iTunes and learn more, including dates for any upcoming performances at jareddeckmusic.com.